This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a wonderful day to be together in spirit, in worship, and welcome to all of you who are with us in the sanctuary and for those who are joining us over live stream. It is good to feel connected in the spirit of Christ this morning. My name is Carol Cavendillen. I'm the senior pastor here. I've had a chance to meet some folks who were visiting with us for the first time, and we're so glad that you're here, and welcome to those who might be joining us for the first time over live stream. I would invite you and all of us who are worshiping together to register your attendance. There should be a link in the chat if you're worshiping online to let us know you were here. And if you're here in the sanctuary, the registration pads are at the end of each row, and if you'll pass those down and sign in. If you are visiting with us and looking for a place to call your spiritual home and would like to know more about West End, just share an email address or a mailing address or a phone number, and that will give us an opportunity to reach out to you and begin that conversation. As we gather this morning, I have just a few announcements. Many of you have received an email this week that our COVID task force met and felt that the time was right for us to change our masking policy to masks optional. And so this is the first Sunday when we've been able to do that. And we know that many will choose to mask and others will choose not to mask. And we love and support one another in those choices. We have designated this transept area for those for health reasons or other concerns want to be in a mask-only section, so please feel free to sit there if you choose to do so. Monday through Friday in the church building, we will ask folks to wear masks in the common areas, hallways and things, because we do have a preschool and there are children of that age cannot yet be vaccinated. So, but once you reach your destination in a meeting or someone's office, then we can those masks can be optional. You may have noticed if you came in this way, our new floors are getting installed. They look wonderful. And the pathway from the elevators to the sanctuary and to the restrooms is all clear for you to use. So just follow the tape and the directions and you'll be able to make your way to those places. This week, we begin the holy season of Lent, that 40-day journey toward the cross. And we end the season before Lent with a great celebration of Jazz Mass. It's a long-standing happy tradition here at West End. So on Tuesday, we'll have our Shrove Tuesday pancake supper starting at 5. If you would like to come to that, please RSVP. We need to know that you're coming, and the information about that is in your bulletin. And then we'll have our Jazz Mass service at 6:30 p.m. Some of our posters have an incorrect time. That worship service is at 6:30. And then on Ash Wednesday, this Wednesday, we'll have a service of worship at noon and also at 6 p.m. to begin this season of Lent together. And all of those services will be both in person and on live stream. During the season of Lent, on Thursdays, we have a series of concerts at noon, followed by lunch. And if you'll look every week, you'll find out who will be leading us in that concert. And you can RSVP and join for fellowship over lunch afterwards. The final Sunday before Lent begins is Transfiguration Sunday, and we will celebrate the transfiguration of Christ by bringing to the culmination our series on love as we consider Paul's teaching that love never ends. So in the power and spirit of Christ's love, let us worship together.
Beloved of God, let love renew your soul. Beloved of God, embrace love that is timeless and eternal.
The love God has for us is deeper than oceans, older than memory, larger than sky. Love never ends.
Let us come now before God with our confessions, with the assurance that who we are and what we carry is held within God's perfect love. You, loving God, have welcomed us into your family. By the gift of your only child, you claim us as your children. Give us the inheritance of Christ, peace, compassion, joy, and life. Forgive us discarding what you have offered to us. Your grace pardons us, yet we pursue fleeting pleasures. You give gentleness and love, yet we choose bitterness and self-centeredness. Thank you for your love that fills the divide between your poverty and your generosity. Your love bears all, believes all, hopes all, and endures all. Your love never ends. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. However is comfortable for you, online, send some texts, in person, do some elbow bumps. The peace of Christ be with you. One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Ben and Mary Scott DeVault bring their son before God to the community of faith for baptism.
My family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift offered to us without price. Ben and Mary, I ask you now these ancient questions of the faith on behalf of the whole church. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to all people? And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? My friends in the congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, please say, we do.
We do.
And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news, and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with the community of love and forgiveness, that he may grow in service with others. We will pray for him to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. And when you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. And in the fullness of time, you sent Jesus nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away sin and clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
And what name have you given your son?
Benjamin Brooks.
Benjamin Brooks DeVault, I baptize you in the name of God, the Father, your Creator, Christ the Son, your Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit, your Sustainer and Comforter. Amen. And now we're going to all place hands on him. You want to maybe put your hand on his toe or on his shoulder? And all of us are going to pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit in his life. Benjamin Brooks, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your beautiful life. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. And now we're going to invite you all to step out a little further so everyone in the congregation, both in the sanctuary and online, can get a close look at our new brother in Christ as we make our vows and promises to him.
Will the congregation please stand and face Benjamin Brooks? It is now our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Benjamin Brooks to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Benjamin Brooks, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the New Testament, Romans 8. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The word of God for the people of God.
I'd like to invite all the children to come and join me up here if you're here in the sanctuary, or if you're worshiping from home, just to move a little bit closer to your screens and join us for a special moment together. Come on up. Good morning. Welcome, welcome. So glad to see you. Here comes everybody. Come on up. Thank you. Glad to see you. If you want to bring a parent or friend with you, please feel free. We're all children at heart, aren't we? Okay. I'm wondering, how many of you have ever seen the ocean? Have you ever seen the ocean? Some of you have seen the ocean. Well, the ocean, how many of you have seen the ocean? We've got a lot of people who have seen the ocean. One thing I love to do when I go to the ocean is to sit on the sand and just listen and watch the waves come in. So what I want you to do is close your eyes and imagine with me that you're sitting on the beach and you're watching the waves of the ocean. Let's make a sound that sounds like the waves. Okay, you can open your eyes. One of the things that's so amazing to me about the ocean is that it never stops. The waves just keep coming and coming to the shore, and they never stop. The ocean is never still. And that makes me think about God's love and how God's love is always coming toward us. God's love never stops. God never stops loving us. So I hope that sometimes you might close your eyes and think about the waves of the ocean being like God's love that is always, always for you. And God never, ever stops loving us. That's what our Bible lesson was about this morning. And if we learn nothing else in church, that's the most important lesson, that God always loves us and will never, ever stop loving us. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you for loving us always, and that nothing will ever stop your love for us. We thank you for beautiful places like the ocean that can remind us of your love. Help us never to stop loving you, never stop loving ourselves, never stop loving our neighbors. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much. And if you're 3, 4, or 5, you can go with Pastor Maggie and Pastor Nancy to Children's Church. And otherwise, you can go back and sit with parents or friends. It's not a bad practice these days, every once in a while, just to close your eyes and imagine you're at the beach. I find that helpful sometimes. This Sunday, we are coming to the end of our worship series that we have called Love Always. If you are worshiping with us for the first time, we have been making our way slowly over the past few weeks through the verses of 1 Corinthians 13 that are printed on the front of your bulletin, where the Apostle Paul describes what agape, love, the love of God, looks like and acts like. Love is patient, kind, does not rejoice in wrongdoing, rejoices in the truth. And today we come to the culmination of those verses as Paul says, love never ends. As I studied these three words this week and took a little time to go look at the Greek words, which I like to do even though I don't remember much of my New Testament Greek, I realized that there may be a better translation of these words. The NRSV says love never ends, but there are several English translations that say love never fails. And the Greek word is actually ekpipte, which means to fall out or to fall off, to grow weary and stop, perhaps, to droop. And Paul seems to be saying that God's love never droops, never stops, never falls off. It is constant. It is always for us, always toward us. I was thinking about David and I went to the Predators game on Thursday, and it's not called halftime. I can't remember what it's called. The time between the periods, they had a contest, and they had three people who tried to hit the puck from one goal all the way down to make the other goal. And if they made it, they won $35,000. Nobody made it, unfortunately. But the third guy got really close, and he hit the puck, and it was going, 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 going. And then this far from the goal, it stopped. That's ekpipte. God's love doesn't do that. God's love does not slow down or stop. It is always for us, constantly moving toward us, embracing us, working in us to transform us and the world. Love never fails. One of the reasons I was so drawn to exploring these verses of Paul for several weeks is because at the deepest core of my being, it is the deepest belief I hold that God is love. Unconditional love, always moving toward us. And our calling is to receive that love and to be shaped by it. To allow the agape of God to shape how we love ourselves, how we love other people, even how we love our enemies, as Jesus taught us to do. It is at the deepest core of what I believe. And yet this week I've had some questions about love and what love looks like, lived out in our world. We've all watched with horror as Russian troops invaded Ukraine. And we see events like this happening in our world and ask the question, what does love have to say to that? Is there a time when we have to choose something else that's not love in order to navigate the world that we live in? Some of you have heard me tell this story before, but when our son Tate was little, from about age 6 to age 12, it was all Star Wars all the time. We had lightsabers, we had blasters, we had the Millennium Falcon, we had all the action figures. And one time after church on Sunday, we were talking at lunch, and I asked Tate, "What did you talk about in Sunday school today?" And he said, "Well, we talked about love, and God is love, and you're supposed to love everybody, and love is good." And then he paused and said, "But you know, sometimes love doesn't work and you just need a blaster." And I wonder sometimes, is that what we think? Is that what I think, really? That sometimes love does fail. Sometimes love isn't what you need and we need to pick up something else to respond to aggression, to respond to things happening in our world. But then I go back to these words of Paul in the 8th chapter of Romans, where we really see him in such beautiful, poetic, transcendent language talking about this love of God that will never stop, that will never be broken. There is nothing in heaven or on earth that will ever separate us from the love of God. God never stops loving. Everything God is and does is love. And for the first time this week, I heard that in a different way, that nothing should ever separate us from love, that there's nothing that should ever cause us to set love down and choose another way. we should never give up on love because love never fails. So maybe we have to examine what we think love is or what we understand love to be. We've talked about love being patient and kind. We've also talked about love not rejoicing in wrongdoing, but rejoicing in the truth. Would love ask us to stand by as a bully beat up on someone who was weaker? Does love ask us to just roll over and be passive when we see wrongdoing, injustice, and oppression in the world? Did we not just hear the baptismal questions that we are called to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? How does love do that? I think the best place to start for me as I've wrestled with this question this week is Jesus. Love looks like Jesus going into the temple and knocking down all of the tables and calling the temple leaders to account for the ways that their practices were oppressing the people and how they were twisting the image of who God is. It looks like Jesus standing in front of a woman who was being shamed because she'd been caught in adultery and looking her accusers in the eye as they held their weapons and called out their hypocrisy until they set their weapons down. It looks like Jesus standing up to Pontius Pilate and speaking truth without fear. It looks like the Apostle Paul writing these words about love to a church that had suffered persecution and even been kicked out of the city of Rome, many of them. Paul himself having been flogged and stoned and run out of town and imprisoned, willing to stand up for the love of God and the cause of Christ in the face of empire. Love looks like Harriet Tubman, knowing in her core her deep belovedness and not accepting her enslavement, having the courage to escape, and then to go back to the land of her captivity and through darkness and subversion and secrecy lead others to freedom. Love looks like a motorcycle gang forming a line of protection around a family that's mourning the death of a loved one so that angry, hate-filled protesters couldn't get to that family. Love looks like a family having the courage to gather around a family member and say, "We love you enough to draw a boundary. And unless you get healing and help for your addiction or healing and help for your harmful, abusive behavior, we cannot continue in this kind of relationship." Love at times calls us to draw boundaries, to stand up, to resist aggression. Love is not just passive and allowing evil to have its sway or abuse to continue or untruth to be perpetuated. Love, according to Paul, is the strongest power in the universe. Love never fails, Paul says. Paul tells us that the love of God is always moving toward us, always at work in our world to bring about the kingdom of God, to bring about the beloved community, to bring about the well-being of all people. And our response as those who receive this love is to do all we can to participate, to be instruments of love and peace and justice and wholeness, and to hold on to that deep faith and belief that love never, ever fails. Amen.
As people who believe and trust that love never fails, I invite you to rise in body or spirit and join your voices with one another as we proclaim our faith through our affirmation of faith, 883 in our United Methodist hymnal. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we come to our prayer time, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you would like to share prayers with the pastoral team this week so that we may pray for them throughout the week, you may share those concerns in several different ways. If you're worshiping with us online, or even if you're in person and it's easier for you to submit those online, you may go to our website and find the link that says Contact Us, and there will be a place that you can submit prayer concerns there. If you're in the sanctuary with us this morning, you may also find one of the gray cards located in the pew racks in front of you. And you may place your prayer concerns on those and drop them in the boxes, the offering boxes, that are in the narthex and in Reed Hall this morning. Our prayers of love and sympathy this morning are with church member Angela Williams, whose father, Alan Williams, passed away on Wednesday, February 23rd. Services will be held at Brentwood UMC on Monday. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Ever-present and never-failing God, if we ever needed to know and believe that your love never ends, it seems especially crucial as we come to you in prayer this morning. We pray fervently this day that your divine love would truly shape our world. We pray that your guiding presence would bring a new sense of your universal love for each of us and for this entire creation. May you enter human hearts and remind us of our commonality, our interconnectedness, and our mutual fates as those who rise or fall together. We pray that where the forces of hatred, divisiveness, and violence have taken hold, that you would turn us toward loving kindness, mutuality, compassion, and care. Merciful God, we pray most especially for our siblings in Ukraine and Russia. We pray that the political spectacle of imperialism and conquest is exposed for the evil that it is. We pray that the millions of people caught up in bloodshed and oppression beyond their control will find the help that they need, will persevere amid hardship and struggle, and will emerge from war and destruction as messengers of courage, hope, and human dignity. Lord of the crucifixion, you know the full pain of human suffering. You also know the brutal consequences of human attempts to wield coercion and power and control over others. Help us remember this morning that wherever others are persecuted, are brought low, and even killed, you are there in solidarity and in sorrow. We pray that all who are damaged or destroyed by hatred and violence would share in the power of your resurrection. We pray that life and love will indeed win out in the end.
And while we pray for our international siblings in time of crisis brought on by cold and callous cruelty, we also pray that you would help us search our own hearts humbly for the places we are also tempted to control and vilify and hurt others. As the psalmist writes, you know when I sit down and when I stand up. Even from far away, you comprehend my plans. You are thoroughly familiar with all my ways. We pray most especially this week for the LGBTQ+ community, and especially for trans youth and young people and their families who increasingly face laws and legislation that make their lives and the lives of their families more difficult. We pray for a day when they are simply affirmed in their holy and unique createdness. We pray for others who find themselves on the underside of power in our culture. And we pray for all who struggle in body, mind, and spirit, both near and far. And we pray for ourselves that we would indeed experience your love without end. We bring these and other concerns that are on our hearts and minds in a moment of silent prayer. And now, as people of your abiding love, we pray as Jesus taught us by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we prepare to give our tithes and offerings this morning, we recognize that everyone has a different financial situation. So we simply invite you to give as you are able and as you feel led. This will help us continue our vital ministries in this community and throughout the world. For those of you worshiping with us online, you're welcome to give via the options listed on the screen or in the chat. And those of you in the sanctuary may always give online as well, but you can also leave physical offerings in the boxes I mentioned before that you can find in the narthex and Reed Hall on your way out of the sanctuary this morning. Let us offer our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings, and our hearts to God who loves us unconditionally.
invite those who are joining to come forward. It is our joy to welcome these folks into our membership this morning. First, I'd like to introduce you to Julie Stark. Julie is recently married to Matthew, and they have a new rescue dog named Bubba. She is a pediatric cardiac ICU doctor at Vanderbilt Children's Hospital, and she's transferring from Knox Presbyterian Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. Then we have Teresa Kartner. Teresa has a grown son, and when he was young, she worked as the secretary at Franklin First United Methodist Church, so she knows the ins and outs of the UMC pretty well. She is now the office manager for the Federal Public Defender, and she also has a photography business on the side, and she's transferring from a local Baptist church. And last but not least, we have Peyton and Emma Bradford. They have a son named Wyatt, who is 5 months old. Peyton is an attorney with Frost Brown Todd and is also a musician, and Emma is an art teacher and co-owner of the Little Art House. Peyton is transferring from First United Methodist Church of Rome, Georgia, and Emma is transferring from First Presbyterian Church of Columbia, Tennessee. Emma, Teresa, and Julie, this first question is for you. As members of Christ's Universal Church, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If so, say, I will. Now to all of you. As members of the body of Christ in this congregation, called to be the loving light of Christ in the world, will you faithfully serve Christ in this place through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, I will. Would the congregation please rise in body or in spirit and join me in welcoming our newest members? Family of God, Peyton, Emma, Wyatt, Teresa, and Julie are now entrusted to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. I invite you to greet these folks through the doors to my right following the service. And now may the God of all grace strengthen you by the connecting and transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that together we may be the loving light of Christ in the world. Amen.
family of God, for the healing of the nations, may we be instruments of peace and love, knowing our own belovedness and sharing love with all. Amen.